Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning episode of the Saved and Sassy podcast with myself, Randy Mendez, and my co-host, Crystal Riley. Happy Holy Week, friend. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I gave you one of those, those pivots that you love that I do so much. About 30 seconds before we jumped on, I know we have a topic, a set topic, of which I can't even remember at the moment. But I told Crystal, I was like, I think God's calling us to talk about Holy Week, since it is Holy Week, and to kind of unpack Matthew 21. And so anyways, I told Crystal that like 40 seconds before we went live.
Surprise. Mm-hmm. Love to surprise me.
I'm really, really getting good at it.
Yes, I don't know why we have an agenda. We should just be like, okay, God, what do you want us to talk about today?
Well, and you know, I was just joking around a little bit because this morning you and I now go to the same church. So I'm so excited, so thankful, and so pumped that you go to the same church as me. And I was like, maybe we should like just have a Sunday service debrief every Monday podcast and really dive deeper into the conversation. But, you know, in all kidding aside, yesterday's sermon was really powerful and it gave a different perspective to Holy Week. And, you know, the week itself, I think, I know, should be filled with hope, right? There's so much hope in the resurrection. There's so much promise and there's so much certainty in our future. But I also think that, you know, just again, confession time, Crystal, I have not done a good job of really walking through all the significant milestones that led up to the resurrection and really seeing how they can apply to modern day contexts. And that was something I really liked about yesterday's sermon. And it's probably why I was feeling a prompting, you know, for God to lead us into this conversation. What were your thoughts?
I actually learned a lot yesterday. I mean, I grew up Catholic. Well, not kind of, but not really. Catholic school, baptized Episcopalian, no religion at home. Very confusing, but a lot of memories from being Catholic. So it was an interesting perspective to see how she put it yesterday. I mean, I took so many good notes yesterday. I pulled out my notebook. So, because I listened to two services yesterday and it kind of went hand in hand. They were both different, but they went hand in hand. So I liked how yesterday Pastor Nicole said the crowd or the cross, like, what are we choosing? Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the sermon yesterday, I listened to with a different church and pastor. How would you feel if you woke up every morning, every day, knowing that you're living in your unique purpose?
Yeah.
Right. So if we know what our unique purpose is and it comes from God and we're living for the cross, like imagine, like it just was, I don't know, it was really profound and exciting to have that, both those perspectives.
So. Yeah. I agree completely. And I love the thought of asking yourself each day if you're living in, you know, purpose, because I think that ties directly with the crowd or the cross. And one of the things that was referenced yesterday is how in the beginning of the week, as Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, there was large amounts of crowds chanting for him and pro Jesus. And this is, you know, proclaiming him. But then as the days got closer to, you know, Good Friday, and to his crucifixion, the crowds dwindled and the voices muted completely. And I think that, you know, it's interesting how God speaks to us, because I've been going through a lot on a career basis, just exploring different ideas, different thoughts, different things, different opportunities. And the last week or two in our industry has been extremely loud. And I have actually, you know, and there's a lot of great leaders, and I don't say this as a, I don't say this with a negative annotation, but I say this just as how we have to really take the Bible and apply it for us to learn lessons in today. I've been very thankful for the loud voices and the loud leadership. And I've been thankful for the crowd that's easy to identify that I believe is doing the right things to win. But it also made me aware as a believer that just because the crowd is going in the right direction based off of worldly things, just because the crowd is going towards success, just because the crowd is going towards the win and the crowd is going towards profitability, doesn't necessarily mean that those of us that are believers and are pursuing kingdom should go with the crowd. And that was something that I just was sitting in service and I was wrestling with, because if I'm called to take up the cross and not follow the crowd, often, and in her sermon, she also talked about, you know, in scripture, less being more and all these different things. And then while I was sitting there, I was asking God, you know, just keep it bringing, like, put it all together, let the dots connect. And he, you know, I felt like he laid on my heart that his heart is for the one. And so then it was like, all of a sudden I had this message that was like, the crowd can be going in the right direction for a worldly win. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you should follow that crowd, because if that crowd is going for the worldly win, even if the worldly fail is the opposite direction, if it's the direction of the cross, that's the way you should be going. And then it's just kind of hard sometimes, because it's like, you know, especially when it comes to, if we could just be transparent here, when it comes to money and finances, like, I feel like I live on two sides of the spectrum, which is like, eh, you know, I can always make more. Like, it's going to come, it's going to go. I can take care of people. And that's really where I live. But then there's always that FOMO. Like, if I pivot, am I going to miss out on the payday that I've been waiting for 45 years to come? Like, it was all my work going to pay off financially. And of course, we immediately have to go to having the faith in God, which is a big component of Holy Week, is the faith, right? That, you know, what's for us, he'll give us. But it immediately, it just changes our thinking. Like, if his heart is for the one, and if, you know, we are to follow the cross, I think it's so easy, like, when it comes to Holy Week, Crystal, it's so easy now in our current perspective, where we get to have, you know, look back with 2020 vision, right? It's so easy to say, oh my gosh, the crowd epically fails. Nobody's bold. Nobody stands up. But I don't think it's so easy to identify walking in the wrong crowd in the world today, because the wrong crowd today they're not necessarily doing wrong. They're not necessarily rejecting Jesus. They're not necessarily doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They may be wholesome. They may be, like I said, profitable and successful. But is that the path of the cross?
So right. So, I mean, that's so hard, because it's two different worlds. When you live for the cross and when you live for the world, it's right. Two completely different things. And when you step into, like, your purpose and you know you're in alignment with God, it doesn't matter what all the noise of the world says, because that's right. Not what the Bible says, or that's not what God says. And so in this last year, I've done a lot of digging in, like, who God is, and letting go of, like, all of what the world, or what I think the world, or whatever my perception was. And so, like, these messages, or this message yesterday, really hit home, because I choose Jesus over the world quite on the regular. And then I don't look like I do things normal. And then, you know, the judgment and all the other things. And so and with our real estate market right now and the things that are happening, you know, I'm not going to say I'm not educated, because I do know what's going on. But I'm choosing to put my faith more in God rather than what everything in the news and the world is saying, because it's so chaotic and you listen to all these different things and it's, God just saying, don't listen to it.
Yeah.
And he's going to take care. So it's interesting.
Well, and I think that goes back to, who are you following? Are you following the crowd or the cross? Mm-hmm. And I do think that it is important to have a handful of wise leaders that surround you to get information and to get feedback and to have that fellowship and to make sure that, you know, whatever storm you're navigating, whether it's a career storm, whether it's a personal storm, that you are lifted up in prayer. You know, yesterday Jordy was like, was Antonio just praying for you? And I was like, he sure was. And so how blessed am I that, like, right there in the church parking lot, I have him putting hands on me and praying for me around career-based things. But it's happening at the church, right? It's happening at the church. So, to your point, we are absolutely not to take up worry, and we absolutely are not to spiral down. I mean, even yesterday when I was putting out my newsletter to all my all agent newsletter, I had like 5 or 6 resources, and I just finally was like, I'm not putting another resource in here. Like, it's overwhelming at a certain point. Like, I'm thankful to have a handful of resources to just give to agents to navigate this change, but I'm also not going to just drown them in resources, right? But back to what I was saying, and to your point, Crystal, we've got to be careful not to follow that crowd that is just continually existing in this and navigating this and obsessing with this and doing whatever, where we do have to go to the cross, which can very much be the church. Mm-hmm. And then we have to say, here's what I'm encountering. Here's what I'm experiencing. Here's what's coming onto my radar, and allow fellow believers to lift us up in prayer and to give us wisdom and discernment and, you know, help us to navigate it. Right. And right. So I think that that's another really powerful analogy when we're talking about, are we following the crowd or the cross? Like, when we are in the thick of the storm, are we staying with in the storm with the crowd, or are we taking the components of the storm and laying them, bringing them into fellowship?
It's situational.
Yeah.
So situational. It's so situational. I mean, I would love to say that, oh, I bring everybody, you know, to the cross. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I mean, that's not reality, right? We live in a fallen and broken world. So if we know that, how we show up, I think that's what really matters, is how we show up. And I would love to say I'm like a perfect person, and I do.
Me too. I keep getting so disappointed that we have not arrived.
But I am thankful there is a Jesus that died on the cross for all of my sins.
Yes.
So, so to answer that, I don't know. I mean, I think it's situational. I would love to say that, you know, I go out and I do things for Jesus and I'm, you know, that person, and then I can bring people in, but I don't know if I'm not always that person. And
and I think even as far as like being open, I think that's a real struggle. Like, I think there's days where you walk into church and you have a very open heart and you're like, I want to talk to people, I want a fellowship. And then I think the truth is that there's days we have a closed heart, and it's like, we're in here and fine, God, like, if you have a message for us, give it to us quick, because we're out of here. Like, you know, I think that's just the reality. That's not who we should be. And I think we need to, you know, surrender that. But I know you and I both have a busy, busy schedule. So I kind of want to just unpack, you know, Matthew 21. I spent some time in it this morning. I was reading through it, and I wanted to put together kind of, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we all have seen the shirt. Maybe we haven't all seen the shirt, but I want the shirt that's like, you know, flipping tables. And we've all heard the expression, like, I'm about to be over here like Jesus flipping tables. But really, you know, what was his heart behind it? And his heart behind it was that, you know, the purity and the meaning of what was supposed to be happening within the temple was being, you know, deteriorated, with people basically commoditizing it and selling and all these different things, right? And so I was just kind of thinking about, you know, the lessons and all the different things that we can learn, you know, between now and Good Friday. And one of them really is, you know, humility and service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jesus, one of the things he wanted was to make sure that, I mean, he literally washes his disciples' feet at the Last Supper.
Could you, like, wash your enemy's feet?
Crystal, when you say that, like, honestly, again, just talk about a heart check moment. Like, how many people could even say, I would wash like my spouse's feet, or I want to wash like my kids'
feet? I don't want to touch anybody's feet, if I'm being honest.
So I clean. So fun fact, I clean all of my, kids' ears to this day. So, totally different thing. So they curl up on my lap and I clean their ears to this day. Like, 20, you know, the oldest one is going to be 27. Okay. And I do this with every one of them. And I have Cody.
How are they going to clean their ears when something happens to you?
I don't know. But anyways, maybe they'll clean each other's. I don't know. I now clean my grandkids' ears too. So, but here's the deal. I typically don't clean Cody's, because Cody, whatever, he does his own thing, his autism, he's not much of a physical touch person. And the other day, Jordy got this new, like, cleaning, ear cleaning thing where you can, like, watch it in the camera. And so So gross. But everybody's like getting their ears cleaned and watching what I'm doing on the camera and all this. So Cody was like, well, I want to try it. And I had to check my heart, Crystal, because I was like, I don't feel like cleaning your ears. Like, it's just not, I've cleaned my children's ears their entire life. And it was just like a very natural thing. And I love Cody. And obviously, I'm very thankful to have got to, you know, have him and become his mom. But it just didn't happen natural, like a natural transgression. And I've never cleaned his ears like that. I mean, a handful. But I was like, but then I immediately was like, God, please change my heart, right? Like, allow me to, like, that would be so crappy of me to not be willing to clean his ears. And of course, they were the worst.
Well, of course.
but really, the lesson to take away is like humility and service, right? Mm-hmm. So we are supposed to meet with others with compassion and selflessness, right? Another thing that Jesus just, could he demonstrate, like, could there be a larger demonstration of forgiveness as he engages with Judas throughout Holy Week? And he knows, and then, I mean, his final words, you know, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they have done. I mean, could there literally be a larger example of the power of forgiveness and the strength? And again, to the same analogy, like, you know, could we even wash somebody's feet, but could we even forgive at that level? Could we forgive that quickly? How many of us take up an issue and we carry it out for 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, because we need time to process? Like, Jesus was forgiving instantly, right? And on that same tone of forgiveness was sacrificial love. So then that's another thing that goes back to, you know, the washing of the feet, and it goes back to just who we are and who we're called to be as servants. But sacrificial love, love that is actually unconditional, right? And at possible a personal cost or personal comfort. Can we talk about that? Like, at the cost of our personal comfort, like, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to do that. It's an inconvenience to me or my life.
I have a little situation that this is totally working on me. I'm not going to say I'm convicted yet, but I should be, in case you're wondering. A little situation, and I don't want to do the situation, and then I'm kind of a jerk because I don't want to, and I know I mean, I will. The outcome is I will, because I know that's the right thing to do.
Right.
But I am really struggling with so many, all of these things, and it's really hard. Like, how crappy that the person I don't want to do it. So the person that I'm going to do this for is somebody close to me and I love and I care about, but yet I don't want to sacrifice my own personal selfishness. Mm-hmm. It's really me being selfish. And look at what God does for us and how often, and what you just said, like all of those things, like, oh, it's the same thing, like your ear situation. It's like, oh
yeah. Well, and it's, you know, we again, back to the crowd or the cross, the crowd craves comfort. The crowd champions comfort, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to probably upload like a bonus podcast this week, which was not the actual speech I gave on stage at the last event I spoke at, but the preparation. I was like, I want to make sure I do a good job. So I literally just hit record on my phone and like went for it randomly off the top, like no preparation. And I was like, dang, that was like, God was in me and flowing through me. And it was so good. And then I think I allowed all my worldly thoughts and fleshly thoughts to really corrupt once I got on stage. But another day, another topic. So sacrificial love. So we have, just to recap, we have, you know, what we can learn is humility and service, forgiveness, mm-hmm. sacrificial love, and then obviously resilience and hope, right? So despite the trials that Jesus was suffering, you know, and despite everything that happens, resurrection still happens. The resurrection happens. And so ultimately, the entire thing that we can take from Holy Week is hope, but also faith and trust. And I would hope that when we look back at Holy Week and we see how many people were unable to execute unwavering faith and unwavering trust, that even amidst agony and uncertainty, we would learn to cling to that faith, right? That we would learn to hold that. And it was actually in Matthew that he was saying, you know, if you have faith enough to proclaim the moving of that mountain, you can do it. It all lies within the faith that you have. And so I think that that's a big component. I was watching, which side note, the sermon yesterday kind of sort of alluded to, like, am I not crowd versus cross, following things that are pure and noble. I'm like, am I not supposed to watch Dateline anymore?
We're not pure and noble. I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's, I mean, whatever. But anyways, but one thing this week I was watching Dateline, and these two moms were talking about their children being murdered, and one in particular had lost her only child, and she kept saying, "Well, I had arrived at peace with whatever God allowed the outcome to be," and she said it like three times, and I just was in awe. I was just in awe that. Again, we live in flesh. Like, who would be like, "Yeah, it's all right. Like, yeah, I still got the boy. I still got the boy. I still got the girl. It's okay." Like, not that anybody, not playing that down, but what a testament to faith and trust to say, if this is the outcome, I trust you in it. If this is the outcome, I have faith in you in it. I'm still going to hold on hope, right? And obviously, I mean, I could go on and on about this, but wow. I mean, it's Holy Week. I just think, you know, let's dive in. Let's go against the world and make this week have more significance. I literally this morning was like, why is the news talking about March Madness? Why are they not talking about Holy Week? Why are they not talking about
this? Is that a real question?
Well, no, you know, but here's the thing. We have the ability to have platforms. We have the ability to have conversations. And it's important that we do for this very reason, because we are called to witness, right? So what do you want to wrap up on, friend?
I just think, I mean, I would encourage people to put their faith in God and not in the world, and to set aside those distractions and just talk to God and ask God, does he really want me to watch that or listen to that? I mean, that was something else. Like the,
thanks, Crystal. I am not ready to give up Dateline.
I didn't ask you to give up Dateline. I'm not saying God's not asking. No, just kidding. But I mean, what we input is really, really important. What we input in our minds and our brains. And so I know, like, I'm on social media a lot, but I'm also not looking and scrolling as much, because there's just too much stuff. And I don't need all of that inside of me. And that's, and like, I'm more of an empath. So I like absorb a lot too. And I just don't want to do it anymore. So I'm limiting all of those things, like before this message from yesterday. So I just encourage people to have more quiet time and just really think about, like, what is important and what's God asking versus what the world is saying. And maybe just let go a little bit of what we think the world thinks we should think, or how, whatever the words are, you know, because there's a lot to that. You can break that down and just encourage people to sit in with what God says and not so much with what the world says. I think so good. A major transformation.
Uh-huh. So good. So good. Well, as always, if you are not in our Saved and Sassy Society on Facebook, get on over there this week. I want to make a few posts and see how people are actually bringing Holy Week into their homes and into their children's lives, and the significance that we're putting on that. And then whatever podcast platform you are listening to us on, please be sure to give us a review, and we will see you guys next week. Bye, friend.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye.